Tonight feels different. It's a heaviness. There's a heaviness in the air. We gather together and it's a quieter space. Our songs were more somber tonight, more toned down, because tonight we are invited to step into this upper room. And we sit at the table with Jesus, and we're not just spectators. Christ has given himself for us, and we are now participants, and we feel the weight in the air. At first, there's excitement as he comes into the room and they share the Passover meal and they're sitting around the table and everything looks good. And then Jesus takes bread and he breaks it and he takes wine and he pours it. And he says things like, "This is my body given to you. And this is the cup of the blood, the new covenant that will be poured out for the remission of many sins." And so he's talking to his disciples, and we sense there's something about to happen, something that's going to change everything. And John tells it this way. In chapter 13, verse 1, the second half of the verse, he says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And that's what Maundy Thursday is all about, love to the end. And I want to read this passage. It's rather lengthy, 17 verses in John chapter 13. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' And Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' So Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do also, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before the cross, before the nails, before the darkness, before the earthquake, before the veil is rent in two, Jesus kneels. And we talked about this several weeks ago when we talked about the table and the towel and how we are called to love others as Jesus loved us, and we are to serve others. And that's the towel and the intimacy of the table as we're invited around the table. And this wasn't symbolic to them, that the master, the rabbi, their teacher, the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, would get down and wash their feet. This wasn't something symbolic. This was literally shocking to them. Foot washing in that culture was reserved to the lowest of the low. The lowest servants in the household had to do that because everybody walked everywhere. Everybody's feet were dirty. You could have taken a bath. You could have taken a shower. The rest of you, Jesus says, would have been clean. The only thing that needed to be washed is your feet, and the feet needed to be washed. As I'm looking at that picture, I thought of a couple things. Number one, he kneels before Peter, who is going to betray him. He even kneels before Thomas, who later on is going to doubt that Jesus has risen from the dead. The others, he kneels before them, knowing that they're going to abandon him. They're going to fall asleep in the garden. They're going to abandon him when the rubber meets the road. And even Judas, who was going to betray him, Jesus kneels and washes his feet. And this is love. And that's the love he calls us to. Love that kneels. Not love that demands. Not love that wants things to even out. Not love that controls. Not love that waits for someone to be worth it. But love that stoops and serves, even when it's uncomfortable. And if we are going to live the mission that we have here at Three Point Bible Church, to love God, to love others, and to make disciples, then we can't just love in words. We have to love in our posture and in our action. We have to serve when it's inconvenient. We have to forgive when we think it's undeserved because Christ forgave us. We are to move toward people, not away from people, because that's what Jesus does to us. He draws near, even though we are wicked and vile, because that's what Jesus does. Love stoops. Love also stays. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows the betrayal is already in motion. He knows that the cross is just hours away, and yet he chooses to go through with it. In fact, in the garden, Peter pulls out like a sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus, one of the high official's nephews. And Jesus tells him to stop, put the sword away, and then heals his ear. He doesn't run. He doesn't withdraw. He doesn't protect himself. He goes and does what he has to do. And this night, he stays at the table. He breaks bread with them. He shares a cup with them. He looks into the eyes of every single one of his friends, even knowing that every single one of them are going to fail him. Every single one of them. And this is love. It remains present, even in the midst of, you know that the betrayal's coming. You know that the pain is coming. He still chose to stay. For us, we live in a world that teaches us when things get hard, go. Your marriage is tough, just leave. You can always get another one. You don't like your kids, get rid of them, get some new ones. You know, do whatever. Leave that relationship you're in. You don't like your church, you don't like the pastor, you don't like the music, you don't like the temperature. You know what? Go find somewhere else. And so we do. We leave people who disappoint us. But how many times as a child have we disappointed our parents? How many times as parents, our children have maybe disappointed us? But we stay because we love. And Jesus shows us this different way to love because love stays. It's not easy, but love is faithful. Love stays because that's what Jesus did. Love also commands. Tonight is called Maundy Thursday. And I grew up in the Methodist Church and I knew what Maundy Thursday was. In the Presbyterian Church, I knew what Maundy Thursday was in the service of shadows, the Tenebrae service. And we celebrated that gathering in the upper room. And sometimes, not only did we take communion, but people would wash each other's feet. And I, as a kid, that was weird to me. And maybe we should just get down and start washing people's feet. I don't know. If y'all want to do that, wait till I walk out the back door, then y'all wash all the feet you want. I was just weirded out with that as a kid. Then I went to an interdenominational church, and well, what's Maundy Thursday? You mean Monday Thursday? The word Maundy simply means mandate. And what is the mandate? Jesus gives us command. He says in this, John 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this," he says, "all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That's the mandate. That's what Maundy Thursday is all about. This is the new commandment that I am giving to you, he said. And they had a lot of commandments. There were 10 originally, but then there were like these 613 laws that they had to follow so they wouldn't get close to breaking the Ten Commandments. And Jesus says, "Look, I got a new commandment," and it all kind of breaks down into this. Love. Love. Love one another. And he says, and he qualifies it, "just as I have loved you." How did he love us? He stayed. He knelt. When the going got tough, he still stuck with them, knowing that he would be abandoned. because there would be a day of reconciliation and there would be a day of restoration, and we celebrate that just a couple days from now. When Jesus says this, it's not a suggestion. He doesn't say, you know what, guys, think about this. Let's see if we can come up with a plan. This is not optional if we are saying that we are followers of Christ. In fact, it becomes the defining mark of his people. That's what he says. He doesn't say, hey, they'll know you're my disciples by how much you know. Hey, you know those Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic words? Man, you're right. You're right where you need to be. No one else will understand you. It's not that. He says, not by your success, not by your influence, it's not who you know, it's not none of any of that stuff. What he says is, they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. A different kind of living. He says, by your love, and not just any love, as I have loved you, sacrificial love, humble love, costly love, unconditional love. That's the mission. And when we say we love God and we love others, that's where it comes from. That we are to love others as Christ loved us. Another thing about love and Jesus is love that goes to the cross. Everything in this room, everything on this table points forward. There's bread, there's the cup, there's the washing, there's the words, and it all leads to the cross. Because ultimately, Jesus doesn't just kneel. Jesus bleeds. He bleeds. Jesus will walk out of that upper room into the night. As he walks out, he walks into betrayal. He walks into suffering. He walks into merciless scourging and beating. He walks into suffering. He walks into death. Why? Because love doesn't just stop when things get tough. Love goes all the way. Love doesn't stop when it costs something. In fact, love should always cost us something. And so tonight, don't push past this moment. We remember the towel in Jesus' hands and how he served. We remember the water that's in the basin, the water that washes us, the bread that was in his fingers, and he gave it to us and said, this is my body which is given to you. And then the cup that he lifted up, and we hear these words again, as I have loved you, you must love one another.